Let's open up our Bibles to Ephesians 4. We are going to read from verses 11 to 16. And I'm going to finish off on this portion of Scripture today. And so let's just read the text together. And we'll do a quick recap on what we shared last time. Out of the preceding verses, and then we'll move on from that. So verse 11 of Ephesians 4 says, "And he himself," Jesus himself, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, a perfect man, a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together, by which every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." It's a great bit of scripture, and we've been unpacking different parts of this the last couple of weeks. And last time we read verses 7 to 16, and I essentially said four things related to these gifts of the that Christ gives. And the four things were this. Firstly, these ministry gifts are given by Christ to serve the church. They're gifts given to serve. And I made the point here that these gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher are leadership or proclamation gifts. And but they're gifts of Christ. And they're gifts to serve. It's important that we re-emphasize that this morning. That the gifts God gives are not for us to look good, but they're actually to serve one another and to glorify him. And the authority that lies in a leadership gift or in one of these fivefold gifts doesn't come from the gift itself. It comes from the one who gives it. He is exalted and he gives the gift. And the purpose of the gift is to show that he's exalted. And the purpose of the gift is to serve others, so that the whole body can be mobilized to show that he's exalted. So the second thing that I highlighted was that these gifts are people. These ministry gifts are people. Unlike verse 7 where it talks about to each one of us, each one of us in the body, grace was given. These particular gifts are people that God gives for his people. The third thing I mentioned was that all five of these gifts are required for the church to fully function as Christ intended. And I use the illustration of an aircraft needing all the systems to work simultaneously for it to get off the ground and to go where it wants to go where it's supposed to go to. Everything has to function together. And in the same way, we can't pick and choose, oh, I would like a teacher, or I love a pastor, or just an evangelist. Now, you may have a particular gifting yourself, a particular bent, if you like, or the way that God's wired you. Like, you really enjoy the prophetic. But you also need the apostolic. You also need the teacher. And likewise, my gifting might be teaching. But I also need an apostle to speak into my life. I need a prophet to speak into my life. And the whole body needs all five simultaneously for the body to come into the fullness of what Christ has in mind. And then the fourth thing I mentioned was that these gifts go beyond the local church and are to actually edify the whole body of Christ, as we've read in verses 12 and 13. They're to edify the whole body of Christ, and these gifts are to last until Jesus returns, because we haven't yet come to the unity of the faith in the body of Christ. Does everybody agree with that? We haven't come to a place in the body of Christ, either in Edinburgh or in the world, where actually we are, where there is a total unity of the faith. We need, one of the ways that God is going to unite his church fully as time goes on is through these ministry gifts, ministering and connecting local churches to one another, to Christ, and growing as these gifts are allowed to operate and work into and through and beyond local churches. Just turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, please. So I'm going to move on from that this morning. And we're going to read Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. And I did touch on this last time, but I want to launch out from this morning, because there's a pattern in the New Testament of partnership that we see between a local church and this fivefold ministry gifting, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, which we might call a fivefold ministry team or an apostolic team. And we see right through the book of Acts how local churches related to people like Paul, and who had people alongside him like Timothy and Silas and Barnabas and others, Apollos, Philip comes to mind, Peter comes to mind, John comes to mind. And there was a mix of ministries there. Some were apostles. Silas was a prophet. Philip was an evangelist. Apollos was also named an apostle, but he's also a teacher. And so there's a mix of ministries involved there. And some of them had more than one particular gifting. And they were involved in starting new churches. Yeah? Planting new churches. And we'll come into this shortly. They were gifted by God to do that. But not only that, to establish churches and to see them moving on. And so Paul and Timothy and Silas plant a church in Philippi, and this letter goes out some years later, and it speaks of a partnership. If you look at verse 5, I'll read it from verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your partnership or fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, this is now kind of 15 years on. That's important. A partnership started when people were born again, got saved, and a church was planted in Lydia's home. But it continued because it was well established, and the relationship continued for years and years and years, and that's God's desire. And so he says in verse 6, having said, I'm thankful for this partnership from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so what we see here is a relationship, a friendship, a partnership around the gospel, a confidence in Christ. And we as a local church, we have a partnership with a wider team, which is called NCMI, New Covenant Ministries International. And NCMI is one of many fivefold ministry teams operating around the world currently. Our particular team is led by a guy called Tyron Daniel. It's a partnership centered on Christ, in seeking to know him more and make him known more in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our regions, and beyond. And it's a partnership, as was this partnership with Paul and Philippi, that's based on Christ and relationship with one another. And so we are not a denomination. NCMI doesn't have any headquarters. There's only one head, and it's not in quarters. Yeah? NCMI doesn't own any buildings. Each local church is autonomous. And what that means is, big word, it means that each local church is self-governing. In other words, and it's led by an eldership team who are the highest authority in any local church. And people come in from the apostolic team to minister by invitation. So it's through relationship. We can pull out of that relationship anytime we like. But we don't want to do that because we see in Scripture that the benefits and the value and the intentionality that Christ has given the gifts to His church. So we want to draw from those gifts and we want to invite those gifts in. So we have some of the guys that we invite in on a regular basis have some of these particular gifts that we see that are helpful for us, like Wayne, who lives in Dresden in Germany. We see it has an apostolic gift. He's an apostolic builder. And so those of you who've heard his ministry, he was here earlier in the year in February, would have seen that, yeah, that's the kind of ministry that he has. He builds. God's given him a gifting to actually build up the church. We'll talk more about that shortly. And then there are others like Rick in Aberdeen, who I think Rick, in terms of his gifting, is primarily evangelistic, an evangelist gift. Now, he's probably got many other gifts, but when he comes in to the life of the church here, and when he shares with leaders here, what comes through strongly is his passion for the lost. And so he leaves something of that with us, as well as other things. And so we could go on. We talk about Geert-Jan in Holland, who's more of a prophetic gift. We've had Hilton and Tanya in earlier this year, pastoral, father gift, and Nigel Day-Lewis, who's kind of a teaching gift. And so these different gifts are to build up the church. So I want to talk for a few moments this morning about a bit more about this. What is the purpose of this fivefold ministry partnership that we're in? Okay. Are we ready? Okay. Are we breathing? Okay. Just checking. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So the first benefit I want to highlight is that it brings fullness and freedom to a local church. It brings fullness and freedom to individuals in the local church, to each saint. Paul is concerned here, we spend a lot of time in this Ephesian letter, that people are rooted and grounded in their identity in Christ. That's an important thing here, that these kind of ministries want to establish and ensure that people are established in our identity in Christ. And of course, when we talk about these kind of ministries, we're talking about leadership gifts as well. So this is the kind of thing that leaders in the church need to be working into the life of their local churches as well. And so, yeah, the concern is that every couple, married couple, as well as single people need to be knowing their identity in Christ. Couples need to be walking in unity and freedom in their relationship with Christ and in their marriages. And it's been wonderful to hear testimonies of God, Christ bringing freedom more and more in people's marriages recently. But God gives these five gifts, yeah? And it says in verse 12, it's for the equipping of the saints. Now that word equip, it's an interesting little Greek word. It's the word katartizo, and it's a word that means to set or reset a bone that has been broken. It's a medical term for resetting or realigning a bone that has been broken in the body. And so what these gifts do when they come in is they seek to bring alignment, people to align the body afresh to the direction, to the vision, to the pursuit of where the head is going. There's an alignment where maybe things have been a bit out of joint or things have been a bit out of place. There's an alignment that comes in as we sit under this sort of fivefold ministry. And it makes us more effective together in terms of mobile and mobilizing the body. NCMI has, if you like, mobilizing times or equipping times, which are called equips around the world. And the purpose of those times is to, yeah, is to do just that, is to empower, is to give a bit of the bigger picture of what God is doing around the world, what Christ is doing, but also to come together in the presence of the Holy Spirit and to see people empowered. I remember Andrea coming back from an equip time in Germany a number of years ago and sharing her testimony of how God had incredibly encountered her in a time of worship in one of those moments. And she'd been really seeking out for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And God had come in one of those moments at the equip in Germany when they'd been preaching and teaching on that and then in the worship afterwards. And she came back and shared her story. More recently, Paul and Dee were in Germany as well. And it was wonderful to hear their story, coming back and saying how they'd gone, well, God had impacted them through the ministry in different ways. But in one particular workshop they went to, where Rick was sharing around the supernatural, see a bit of the evangelist again coming out, and he encouraged people to participate in praying for the sick afterwards. And Paul stepped up and prayed for a guy who was struggling, really struggling with his sight, kind of seriously struggling with his sight. And the following day, in front of the whole crowd, the guy stood up and testified that, yeah, his sight was perfectly well. And yeah, and Paul was going, wow, God used me. I was a channel. And you see, what's happening there is that somebody's opened a door, somebody stepped through the door, and there's been an empowering, a life of God has been released, and there's confidence and strength. Somebody's been built up to, and come back and said, actually, I want to see more of that in my life, through my life. So these gifts equip, they empower, and then they're body-building gifts. As you can see, I've been working out a lot recently. they're body-building gifts. Yeah? And Christ's body needs building. The word used is edifying. It says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Yeah? And so it's a case of we actually need others to come in to help us, to give us weight to build our body. To build the body up. To edify. To strengthen. So, and it has an effect on the whole body. So back in June, when Hilton and Tanya were with us, Tanya has that prophetic word about for this church to grow, everyone needs to step forward on the front, together. We then went with the strap line about stepping forward together on the front line. And we summarized that word with that expression. And we've been preaching into that. You see, that's what it's about. We don't just have a guest speaker who comes in and gives a word and then flies back to their country. No, we're hearing from God as a body, the elders, the leaders. What is God saying? What do we need to build on? Because the primary purpose is it's building up. It's not just blessing. It's not just a bless me club. Oh, I was really blessed by that word. Now, that's wonderful, but are you going to build on it? Jesus is not blessing his church. He said, I will build my church. We'll build on that a bit more just now. So it's wonderful when people are built up themselves, they gain confidence, and they then go out and start releasing more of God's Jesus life to others, and fullness and freedom flows through the body and into other people's lives. So that's the first thing. These gifts bring fullness and freedom. Secondly, these gifts build into the foundations and formation of local churches. Jenny preached out of Ephesians 2 verses 20 to 22 some time ago now, and just have a quick look there, because again in your Bible, because what Paul is doing here, he's building on a theme with this letter to the Ephesians, and he's saying that actually the church is a spiritual building, And for a building to be strong, the foundations have to be right. Isn't that amazing, eh? That all that is visible, you know, think of that incredible building in Dubai, you know, that just keeps going up and up and up and up. But I tell you what, for that building to go up and up and up, the foundations are going to go down and down and down. I forget, somebody told me how many years it took to build the foundations for that particular building. It was years. And it's the strength of the bars that go into the ground are huge, massive, because actually you can only go as high as your spiritual height will only reach as far as your depth goes. And so the whole thing of that the visible is built on the invisible. And the durability, the strength, the height, the ability to extend the building is dependent on its foundations. And Paul has talked about this also in chapter 3 of Ephesians, where he says, I'm praying that you may be rooted and grounded in Christ and in his love. Because that is what's going to last. It's the only unshakable, only certain, sure foundation is Christ, his word, his love, his truth. And friends, it takes time to build good foundations. We planted this church in July 2004. And I remember from my time when we led the church in Springs. We'd been in that church for many, many years, and we led it for 9 years. And 6 years into the leading of that church, and things were going well, I thought. You know, things were growing nicely, developing well. People were getting saved, leaders were coming through. And I went away to pray for the beginning of year number 7 of our leadership kind of tenure. And I was praying, God, give me a word for this year. And the word, after much prayer, he gave me one word. And the word was building. So I thought, building? Is that all you've got for me, Lord? Building. He said, yes, because you've just about laid the foundation now. That was after 6 years. We read in Scripture, don't we, that it took 7 years to lay the foundation of Solomon's temple. Foundation laying, as in the natural, can take a long time, and also in the spiritual. And in terms of our Edinburgh journey, I reckon that it probably took at least 8 years to lay the spiritual foundations of this particular body. And we may be still even doing that to some degree. I remember in the first few years, you know, we would have team guys come in and they would just say, keep on laying good foundations. You know, you're laying good foundations. Just keep on laying good foundations, line upon line. And I was saying, give me more, give me more, give me more. I want this superstructure to go up, you know. Just keep laying the foundations. Because actually, for something to last over time, spiritual foundations have got to be laid. So let me ask you this morning, that's for the church here, how strong are your personal foundations in Jesus Christ? Hebrews chapter 6, the first 3 verses, gives us the foundations of it for a new believer, for every believer. The first one is repentance from dead works. Can I ask you this morning, have you repented fully? You think, well, that's a bit of a tough one. Maybe put it in a different way. Is there any dry rot in your system right now that is still in the foundations of your spiritual life that you have not adequately, properly dealt with? Because this dry rot kills a natural building, so dead works and stuff like that. That in our lives, dead religion, dead tradition, dead ways of thinking, it's like dry rot. But Christ comes so that we can actually come into life, but we need to repent and follow him fully. Then there's faith towards God. that we're saved by faith, that we're walking by faith, we've got this new life, we're living by faith. Then there's water baptism. He talks about baptisms being part of our foundational life in Jesus. If you declare yourself to be a believer, then you need to get baptized in water and say so. So I want to challenge you this morning. If you haven't been baptized in water as a Christian, your foundations are still faulty. And the Bible says, get baptized and declare, because it's where you declare that I am a Christian, full on. And I'm burning my bridges and I'm following Christ for the rest of my life. I have decided to follow Jesus. It's foundational. And then we could go on and talk about, yeah, spiritual baptism, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Laying on of hands is another one of those things that was referred to earlier, but praying for the sick, it's a foundational thing. And as we exercise faith, and as we step out and start laying our hands on people who are sick and releasing life, yeah, we start bringing fullness and freedom to other people's lives. And so we could go on. Resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. Those things are foundational, that we know where we are going, and that we know that we need to go out and share the gospel with others, otherwise they're going to go to hell. And it's foundational, those things. So my foundation and your foundation is not religion. I know I'm laboring this morning. It's not tradition. It's not NCMI. It's not that I'm a Catholic or a Protestant or a Lutheran. It's not my dad believes. It's not on false or other religions. It's on Christ and Christ alone. And you see, when Paul wrote letters to these churches at Corinth, at Philippi, at Ephesus, etc., he was concerned that they based their life personally, each saint, and together as a body, on and in Jesus Christ alone. So we need to lay solid foundations. But these gifts also have wisdom concerning the building of the whole spiritual temple, not just the foundation. So Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 6 says this: through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. Got the last bit there. Thanks, sorry. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war. Notice that. Wage your own war by wise counsel. And in a multitude of counselors there is safety. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3 that part of the apostolic gift, that it's a gift. It's a gift of grace that God gives to people, is a gift of a wise master builder. To bring insight, to bring perspective into situations that actually help us as local churches to build in a healthy way. To handle difficulties where we feel where we're out of our depth. Bringing through the right people at the right time in the right places. And then the third aspect of, if you like, this building strong foundations is appointing elders. In Acts 14, we read about the fact that when they planted churches, they went back and appointed elders within a short space of time. And if we could just go to that other text in Titus 1, verse 5, Zari, that'd be great. Paul says this: for this reason I left you, that is Titus, in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. So these ministries are foundation laying. And they're also involved in the formation of churches, where, because obviously, as in a family, as it goes with the parents, so it will go with the children. Yeah, and in a local church, as it goes with the elders, as it goes with the leaders, so it will go with the church. The health of the elders determines the health, in many ways, of the church. And so the right elders need to be appointed. And so apostolic ministry in the New Testament was involved in appointing of elders. And so, for instance, earlier this year, Gareth was appointed as an elder, along with Andrea as his wife. And we invited Wayne and Renee Neuper from Germany to come and be part of that appointment or ordination. But a whole process of several years led up to that appointment of walking with Gareth and Andrea as a couple, Lynn and I, of giving opportunity to people like Hilton and Tanya to spend time with them, and Wayne and Renee and Rick and Amy, and not to grill them with questions, but to get to know them, to stay in their home, to see how they relate as a couple, to see how they responded to Samuel's wonderful arrival. And didn't they respond so well? You hardly missed a beat in terms of just serving Jesus and, you know, just walking, you know, in terms of what God has called them to be and to do in the church. And so those things, but those seasons obviously can be challenging. And so there needs to be a wisdom. And so we waited. We're not going to bring them onto eldership the day Samuel's born, or even 6 months after that. We want to see how do they respond to that, how are they going to manage that season, and so those kind of things, just practical wisdom. And then Wayne and Renee, as it happens, Andrea comes from Germany, came out of that church in Germany where she got saved in that church in Germany, so they've had a history there with her, which is a wonderful thing. And she can look back to a time where Wayne actually prophesied over her many years ago, fairly newly saved, and he just said, "I just see leadership on your life." And now many years later, she's married to a South African in a Scottish church, and he has the privilege with Renee of coming here and laying hands on them and setting them in place as an eldership couple. Isn't that awesome? And so that's just an example of how this all works. We've looked at a few scriptures here, but actually ordination or appointing of elders is very important, because as it goes with the leaders, so it goes with the church. And so Paul says to Titus, it's important that you go back. I can't get back to those communities, but you must go back and on my behalf lay hands upon them and set elders in place. So he's part of this apostolic team, Titus, and he goes in and he says, as we do that, we set things in order, and the result is healthy church. The third thing, and there's just two more after this. The third thing that comes out of apostolic fivefold ministry. So we have, it brings the body into fullness and freedom. It works into the foundations and the forging of the spiritual building. The third thing is fathering. Fathering through friendship and relationship. And we just see a wonderful outworking of this in the New Testament. And we also experience that in our relationship with others. That these folks who come in, they don't come in as experts or professionals or clerics. They come in as friends in relationship with Christ, but they come in with their gifting and they play a fatherly role with us. So there's many scriptures that I could read, but I'm going to focus in on one out of 1 Thessalonians 2. And I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible because of the way that it actually is described. And it's 1 Thessalonians 2. I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 6 to 8, and then 11 to 12. Let me just find 1 Thessalonians here. Here we go. Okay, just listen to the words here. Paul saying now to the church of Thessalonica. This is now Paul and Silas and Timothy, who wrote this letter, by the way. Most of the letters in the New Testament were not written singularly by Paul. Have a look at all the letters. You see that most of them had more than one name at the top. Because it's a team thing. This church is in relationship with a group of people, not just one man. So it says, verse 6, even though we had some standing as Christ's apostles, we never threw our weight around. Love that. Or tried to come across as important with you or anyone else. We weren't aloof with you. We took you just as you were. This is like a father speaking, isn't it? We were never patronizing, never condescending, but we cared for you the way a mother cares for her children. We loved you dearly. Not content to just pass on the message, we wanted to give you our hearts. And we did. Then verse 11. With each of you. I love that. It says, with each of you. That he's actually concerned. They're concerned about each person in this church. Not just the church. Each of you. With each of you, we were like a father with his child. It's an incredible heart, isn't it? With each of you. Holding your hand, whispering encouragement, showing you step by step how to live well before God, who called us into his own kingdom, into this delightful life. It's a beautiful, beautiful bit of scripture, isn't it? The mother-fatherly role, caring, nurturing, loving dearly. And I love the thing there, holding you by your hand. That's what a father does, isn't it, with a child? You know, teaching you step by step how to walk. Whispering encouragement. And so that's what this fivefold ministry is all about. It's a relational thing. And that's what leadership is actually all about. It's a family thing, isn't it? I mean, I love all the pictures that Paul paints in Ephesians, this letter of Ephesians that we're going through. The army, the bride, the body. But for me, the standout picture is family. It's family. Because the standout picture of God is Father. That's the standout. Jesus came, as we think about this time of year when Jesus came, Jesus primarily came to put a face on God. And the face and the reality or the revelation, to put it in more biblical terms, that he came to bring, the ultimate revelation of God, is as the Father. And so these gifts that are given from God by Christ to the church are reveal something of the Father heart of God for his people. They are fatherly gifts, rooted and based on friendship, relationship with one another. And yeah, we've titled this series "Fathers and Sons," or "Father and Sons Unlimited." That's the family that we're part of, sons and daughters unlimited, but with one father. I wonder if we could put up that picture, please, Zari. We've seen this picture before, some of us. We put it up in previous years in one or two preaches, but it's a great picture. It's a picture of a, it depicts a wall. So we're part of this spiritual building, and we're not bricks. Same size, same shape, we're not bricks. It's just this is for the sake of diagram. We are living stones, okay? So Charles has got a different shape to me. Don't look on the outside, we're both pretty thin. But we've got a different shape, spiritually, got a different calling, got a different place. So we've got this whole mountain of humanity, yeah? And the evangelists go in and they explode the gospel into that mountain, and stones come out, living stones to Christ. Then the apostle comes and grounds those stones in the building, puts them, sees that they're rooted and firm. The prophet comes and he does a bit of grinding of the stones, cutting them, shaping them, and fashioning them. The teacher comes and grades the stones, helps them to discover where they fit in the building. And the pastor is responsible for guarding the whole building. But But we need to discover not only where we fit, but we need to discover in the spiritual family, in the spiritual building, in terms of relationships, who is supporting us, who is alongside us, and who we are supporting. Yeah? So who's supporting us? Because every stone has at least two underneath it in a building, in a wall. Yeah? And we have the responsibility of supporting others. And we can build in partnering relationships with others alongside us. Why is this important, friends? Because actually, the capacity of a spiritual building is determined by the health of our interpersonal relationships. And it's determined not only by the health of our interpersonal relationships, but also by our willingness to go deeper in our relationships, where I'm actually willing to open up to Colin, and Colin's willing to open up to me. So we have small groups where that happens, yeah? And so what happens in a lot of those small groups is what we call discipleship, where we start to open up with one another. But it goes beyond that. I might have a coffee then with Colin. Just using Colin as an example here. And we share things at a deeper level over coffee. So it's going deeper in Christ. Yeah? And so what's happening is that builds there's a depth, a maturity, a strength, a unity that's happening here at a deeper level. And there is a support that's happening. And there is a discipleship that's happening. So fathers support from underneath. Yeah? So when it says in Scripture that he gave first apostles, second prophets, it doesn't mean that these guys are above. No, it means that they're underneath. Because their foundational ministries for the building, spiritual building. And the same with leadership. And every one of us here in this room today is called to make disciples. Every one of us. I've got good news for you. You're not only called to do it, you're not only commanded to do it, which you are, but you are empowered to do it. Because actually, it's the most rewarding thing on planet Earth to follow Jesus and to encourage others to follow him. And God wants us to be doing that at a deeper level, in our small groups, but in discipling through Bible studies, learning more of Christ together. That's how our roots go down more into him. That's how our spirit is strengthened, made alive. That's how we walk into fullness and freedom, strong foundation. And this thing of fathering and friends together is that we actually discover life together as a family. And when we all start not only being discipled from beneath, but also discipling others above and partnering with others alongside, what happens is that the capacity of this building goes higher, deeper, broader. Can you see that? If this is me, well, let's say if that's me there, and I'm not discipling anybody, then the wall stops with me. That's not what God wants. He wants us all to be growing. Because actually, turn to the person next to you and say, in Jesus Christ, you are a father or mother, depending on your gender. And friends, what we simply mean by that is you're an influencer. The DNA of Jesus in you can only reproduce one thing, life. Life. But we have to cooperate to realize that. I have to say, this is the greatest privilege in the world, and then take responsibility for it. We're made to disciple others. We just also need to be commanded. Go and do it, he said. Okay. Let me finish off. Number four, these gifts produce lasting fruit. Genuine apostolic ministry has a visible track record of fruitfulness. You know, there's people who will show you, they'll show you your business card, or they'll show you their business card, and they'll say, Apostle Jacob, or Apostle John, or Apostle Theo, or whatever it might be. You know, that's nonsense. The only way that an apostle is truly seen is not by advertising themselves. It's by what you see lies behind their lives. Is there a track record of fruitfulness? Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 3. He said to the Corinthians, I don't need a commendation from you, and I don't need a commendation to come to you. You actually are my commendation. You are our letter. You are the letter of Christ. So you're a letter of Christ. I'm quite secure that in what God, Christ has called me to be and to do, he's saying, and you're the fruit of it. You're Christ's fruit, written not with pen and ink, but written by the power of the Spirit and the Word of God. And I've been the steward of that to you. So that's all the fruit I need. That's all the commendation I need. Incredible security. And it's the same for us. So we can look at somebody like Wayne, for instance, just picking Wayne out, and we can see there's fruitfulness. There was fruitfulness in South Africa when he led a church there. There's fruitfulness in Germany where he's leading a church now, and we could do that with many other people. And God wants to say that for each one of our lives here today, friends, because he has chosen you, John 15, verse 16, and appointed you that you may go and bear much fruit. Not just a little bit, much fruit. And that your fruit should remain. It's a fruit that lasts. And when that happens, God is glorified. And then number five, these gift ministries, this partnership with an apostolic team, challenges us to forge further. Yeah? To not become stagnant or settled. To actually realize, okay, the foundation laying season is over. The building season is over, but actually it involves reaching out, going again, planting again. We had a lady at one of these equip times a couple of years ago. A lady and her husband came and prayed with Lynn and I, and she said, I see you planting again. Lynn just about had a heart attack on the spot. But I said, that's what God does. He's a going God. Two-thirds of God is go. It's go, go, go. He's a going God. Who will go for us is the cry, is still the cry in the courts of heaven. That's what they said in Isaiah 6 when he has this vision of God. Those are the words he hears. He has this incredible vision of white-hot holiness and is so beggared for words. As he sees God, he falls on his knees. I'm undone, he says. I'm a man of unclean lips. And then God comes and he says, I'm purging you clean. I want you to be my mouthpiece as a prophet. And he hears the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit speaking to each other and saying, who will go for us? And right here now this morning, God is still saying the same thing. How old was I? 18. Just got saved. I made the mistake of going to a Keswick conference in the Lake District. One of the few times I've hitched a lift. I hitched my way up from Manchester to Keswick. That was quite fun. In three different vehicles up the M6. We camped on a campsite. I was there with a guy who was a mate of mine from university. And we went, it's the Keswick convention. It's quite a big convention in England, evangelical convention. And they had one evening was called the missionary meeting. And the guy at the end of it said, well, who will go for him? If you're willing to go anywhere for God, stand up. And I foolishly stood up. And after the meeting, there were quite a number of stood up. They gave us a little card. I kept it in my Bible for years. It's somewhere around the house still. And it had that Isaiah 6 scripture. And he said, sign this card if you're willing to go anywhere. And I signed it. Within 2 months, God was engineering circumstances for me to go to another nation for a year. I had no, that wasn't even on the agenda, on the radar. But friends, when you step forward on the front line and say, I'm available to go do anything, go anywhere, speak to anyone at any time, God will take you at your word, because he is committed to getting this gospel out to every person where you and I are living and beyond. This church, which is not the building, this of people, God has planted us to reproduce again in his time, in his way, in this nation, in other nations, so that the gospel can go out in the name of Jesus, who is the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, can be glorified. So I want to challenge you this morning. How are we doing? Is there any dry rot in your foundations this morning that you need to repent of? Spiritually, is there stuff that you just can't overcome? I want to encourage you to turn from it, but also get help from a father figure or a friend, somebody you trust, so that you can walk free. How are we doing in our discipling of others? Are we committed to small groups and to growing spiritually in our relationship with Jesus? And am I willing to step up on the front line and say to God this morning, I am willing to speak to people this week where you've placed me, and I'm going to take the gap. I want to just, let's pray, and then I just want to say thank you to everybody as we close this morning for yesterday. Let's just pray. And if you're wanting to respond to what God's been saying this morning in the worship or in the preach, I'm just going to invite you to stand afresh this morning. Because for us, friends, it's not about age. It's about God saying, it's about going, not gathering. It's about sending, not staying. It's about giving, not getting. And it's about pioneering, not settling. So if you want to respond this morning, like I responded those many years ago, say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Empower me. Work through me. Then know that God's going to take you at your word this morning as you stand. Father, I just thank you for the adventure of following Jesus. I thank you for this incredible family that we're part of. And Lord, we want to be useful to you. We want to be a vessel of honor. Yeah, won't you deal with any dry rot in our foundations, Lord, right now? In the name of Jesus. Dead works, dead religion, false religion. Things in our mind that equates Jesus plus something. Lord, we cannot add you to anything. It's you and you alone. You plus nothing. And we want to declare that again today. Lord, I pray that you would cause us to live like that this week. And as we step forward on the front line together, we thank you for releasing the gospel through us. We thank you for releasing your healing power through us. We thank you for releasing life through us. And we thank you for these incredible God stories that we've been hearing over the last 3-4 weeks of healings, of provision, of grace. And we thank you for all that you did yesterday in this place as people came in. And Lord, we just give you the glory that as we make ourselves available, as we step forward in every area, you command life and blessing, and you build people into your church, and you build up the church. And so we thank you for that gear change in this season as we all step forward for your glory. And we look forward to the harvest in this season, even in December, Lord, as invitations go out, as people come and see, of many people stepping over the threshold, stepping through the door, who is Jesus. and into receiving this gift of life, coming into fullness and freedom, coming in realizing they're sons and daughters of an incredible Father. And Lord, we thank you for fruitfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.